Here's the story. I give you the shortest version, and the reason I want to tell the story is because it's very relevant to us. It's about my father-in-law,
Jaffe.
Reb Zalman Jaffe, Mr. Jaffe, Mr. Manchester. And he had a very close relationship with the Rebbe. There's a book, his My Encounter with the Rebbe, you can read it, and you can see Tzalangi Yor and everyone here, Rabbi Josh Gordon once brought me out here for Gimel Tammuz, but he said, it's about 25 years ago, and he said, well, he just wanted to give a 20-minute talk, but he wants me to get 5 copies of that book. It was the first volume out, of the one my son, the edited version, and he said, because he wants to take it to his top supporters, because it's a way to show a human side of the Rebbe and still a Rebbe, how he does it. Anyway, so that was my father-in-law. The 5 minutes are now going to start. So he went to the Rebbe, Shavuos, Tov Shin Lamed. He was invited to be a part of the minyan. The Rebbe had a minyan upstairs in the apartment of the Friedrich Rebbe every Yom Tov. So there was a minyan. There were 8 chassidim and 2 waiters, the bacharim, whatever. They're exactly a minyan always. Yeah. And the Rebbe asked my father-in-law, did he like the davening in 770 over Yom Tov? So he said, I have a bit of a question. In Manchester, we sing Huaderes Ve'emuna every single week, every Shabbos. And over in 77, they didn't used to sing it unless the Rebbe would have his hand on the shtender. If the Rebbe gave a bang on the shtender, on his lectern, then they sang it. Or if he made a notice, if the Rebbe gave any sort of signal, then you would sing. But otherwise, they did not sing Huaderes Ve'emuna. So the Rebbe said, you sing it tomorrow in Davening. So the next day comes, this Shacharis, 1,000 people there. The Chazan says, Noisin lechem l'cho bosa ki loylem chazdoi.
There's no sign.
Hoidu le'el ha-shamoyim ki loylem chazdoi. And the Rebbe did not signal to sing, but never told him to sing. So he had a very, very strong, loud voice, and he screams out, "Ho, Huaderes Ve'emuna!" You can hear it wall to wall in 770.
The guys want to.
And so the place was scandalized. The middle of the davening, but they couldn't scream at him because the Rebbe was right there in the front. So the Gabbai came over and looked at this, and the people telling him, "Shugana," and everyone was making all kinds of signals. But the Rebbe told him to sing, so he sang solo the whole Huaderes Ve'emuna from beginning to end. Anyway,
Rebbe fixed
just
him,
a
huh?
Second. Well, just a second. The next year, he comes back, but in between, on Asar Rebbe Tevis, Tov Shin Lamed Aleph, the previous Rebbe's wife passed away. And after then, the Rebbe didn't go. The Rebbe went there out of cover, it seems, covered for the almana of the Friedrich Rebbe. But it stopped. So he couldn't ask him at the. He wrote in a letter. He would write to the Rebbe when he was in the. At home, he wrote every single week to the Rebbe. And he would pull up the Rebbetzin, they'd send it to the Rebbe's house, the whole history about that. And he would discuss it with the Rebbetzin every Wednesday, I think it was. She said, "We read your letters every Wednesday," she told him. He called up on Fridays. Anyway.
What language did he write in?
Yiddish, English, mostly Yiddish. So he wrote to the Rebbe when he was in New York. He would write every day, and everything he wrote, he got an answer. So he wrote to the Rebbe, "You told me to sing Huaderes Ve'emuna. Was that a once-off, or was that a permanent?" And he did not get an answer. It's very rare. He would write, if you see the things that he wrote in the middle of a hakel year, and he got answers. So they ever didn't answer him. That meant they ever didn't tell him, didn't release him from it. So the chazan went, "Loisin lachem b'chol basar ki loylem chazdoi, hoy dulekei l'shem moyim ki loylem chazdoi," and the Rebbe did not budge. And he belted out, "Oh, Adarish!" And everybody is saying, "Look, the Meshuggah is here again." And they started going crazy, and a little bit left. In the middle, one person, a guy called Tzvi Fisher, stood behind the Rebbe, a general of Patton's army. He was a Baal Tshuva from Baltimore. Tzvi Fisher sang with him.
Oh, from Simcha Monica. Oh, he was a good guy.
That guy, Sarge?
Yeah, anyway.
Sarge was a good guy.
Listen, what happened? He sang it through. But then he was in Yechidus. And he said to the Rebbe, "Yechaba Taina, I have a complaint." So the Rebbe said, "What's the Taina? What's your complaint?" So he said, "You told me to sing Hades Emunah, which I did. And with one," and everyone thought I'm a meshugga. "And with one single move, a flick of your finger, you could have saved me all that flack. So what am I to understand from that?" So the Rebbe said, "I told you to sing it, and you sang it. And that's the end of the story. You did what you were supposed to do. That's it. That's the story. As he told it to me 55 years ago."
Mm.
One minute, just a minute. The story's only beginning.
I want to bring
just
it out.
Just a second. No.
I want to further matter.
I'll bring out a different point.
But you're on 6 minutes now, buddy.
No, it's only been 2.5. It's fine.
Yeah.
A president of a shul once told me, I came in England, he says, "Rabbi, any point you cannot make in 8 minutes, it's not worth," he's telling me, "the sermon for 500 people is not worth making."
Pointless.
I said, "I agree with you." I said, "But I need 20 minutes to warm up the audience before my 8 minutes starts." Anyway.
Well, you put a candy in your mouth and it didn't dissolve.
Yes.
You made a mistake, it was a button. I kept on talking.
Got to remember all these stories.
Haircut. No.
Anyway, so.
Haircut we used here a million times.
He said it tonight.
I know. He got a good laugh even though they've heard it many times.
Suddenly, my shver.
I wish I needed a haircut, you know.
He suddenly got the idea. That the real thank you for saving him goes to the chazan. He said, "If the chazan would have started Baruch Shomar right then and there, when everyone was calling him a shugana, by the time he finished the Derech Emunah, they'd be holding Oz Yoshe, and he wanted out with the minion." So he went over to the chazan, and he said, "Yosha Koyach."
Who was the chazan, Shapiro?
I don't know. He said, "Thank you very much for not saying Baruch Shama when I was singing." He said, "You don't have to thank me." He says, "I couldn't." He says, "Why not?" He said, the chazanim are under orders that you don't start Baruch Shama until the Rebbe picks up his tzitzis. And the Rebbe didn't pick up his tzitzis.
Wow, so
he realized that the Rebbe, actually, by not picking up the tzitzis, was supporting him. Mm-hmm. Now, I heard the story 1971, 72 from my father-in-law. But about 10 years ago, I suddenly realized that story is a paradigm of Gimel Tammuz, of the situation in Lubavitch. Everyone knows what the Rebbe wants him to do. And you don't see the Rebbe shaking his hand, "Give me a dollar, give me a smile." All these things you don't see. You don't need it. You're makusha, you're attached, you're connected. You do what you're supposed to do. As the Rebbe said, I told you what you, and you did it. End of story. But you should know that the Rebbe, in his own way, in the non-conventional way, the Rebbe was not picking up his tzitzis, but that he was actually helping him. I've been telling that you have to understand that it'll say halalei. That's what it is. L'chaim, l'chaim.